I suggest to you that people with eyes of faith can see what's really here. A place brought into being by devout people of faith who sought to create here a fellowship in Jesus Christ that would be a replica of the kingdom itself. People with the eyes of faith can see a place built by people with faith in the living God who sacrificed and who labored and who loved and who by prayer built what we see and what we enjoy here. Those with eyes of faith see more than wood and brick and mortar and material. We see a place of devotion, a place of worship, and a place of prayer. Only those with eyes of faith can really see people. With our physical eyes, all we ever see are the physical bodies of individuals. During Jesus' ministry, people looked around with their physical eyes and they saw carpenters and they saw fishermen and they saw tax collectors and they saw revolutionaries. But when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with faith looked on these same people, He saw men who would be dedicated and committed. He saw men of extraordinary character and strength and faith. And out of those carpenters and tax collectors and revolutionaries, He picked 12 of them to come into a special relationship with Him and help Him turn the world upside down. Jesus Christ saw people. Turn with me, if you will, over to Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 7. And come down to verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii. The other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Now let's stop there for a minute. This was a day, of course, in the house of Simon the Pharisee. He threw a big dinner for Jesus. Nice, impressive dinner. Simon knew how to do things right. The problem that Simon had that day was that there was a party crasher who came into the party, and not only was she a party crasher, she was a common woman of the streets. She had a well-earned reputation as a prostitute. But coming into the presence of Jesus, as we have read, she washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, and anointed them with alabaster, precious ointment. Simon, what do you see? Oh, they said among themselves, if he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is. Simon, what do you see? I see a prostitute. Now let's go back to the question of Jesus. Simon, do you see this woman? Well, sure, Lord, you think I'm blind? Yeah, she's standing right there. I've seen the whole thing. Oh, no, Simon. Not do you see her physically, Simon. Do you see this woman? Jesus saw her. And what Jesus saw in this woman was a chaste and beautiful soul as God had made her, whose soul had become tragically soiled in the battle of life. And Jesus didn't condemn her, he saw her. And he forgave her. And he sent her on her way. Simon, do you see this woman? No. Simon couldn't see her because of his lack of faith and his lack of understanding and his lack of love. Only the eyes of faith can see the future. Everywhere you turn in our world, there's fighting. We've just finished one. The AIDS epidemic is about to scare us to death as it begins to attack even the innocent. The tragedy of drugs is all around us. You can't seem to get away from it. We live in a day of fear. But our day is not much different from the first century. Only the sources of the fear have been changed. There was a day when it was a dangerous thing to be a Christian. There was a day when the enemies of the church were strong. There was a day when you couldn't go to worship without fear of your life. There was a day when Christians were hunted and persecuted. There was a day when everything looked hopeless for the cause of Jesus Christ. There was a day when the last of the 12 that we talked about earlier had been exiled to a penal colony on Patmos. It was a dark day. And the outlook for the future wasn't much better. That is, unless you looked at the future with the eyes of faith. And this John the beloved apostle, this John who was the last of the 12 who had been sent to the penal colony on Patmos, saw beyond the present discouraging circumstances of the world of which he was a part to the things as they really were in the world of Almighty God. And if you'll turn over to the book of Revelation, you'll discover that John rose to sublime heights in his vision, and he wrote stirring words that were secretly carried to the Christians over on the mainland to give them strength and encouragement and to enable them to see with the eyes of faith. Turn with me, if you will, back to Revelation. Chapter 21. And listen to him as he sees what's coming with the eyes of faith. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Do you hear what John is seeing as he looks with the eyes of faith into the future? See, what you and I need to learn is that those of us who can look into the future with the eyes of faith will never be disturbed by the turmoil of the world. Those who look into the future with the eyes of faith can walk with courage and with trust. And they'll sing with the psalmist the words that the psalmist sang in the long ago. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That's what John wants us to know. There's a beautiful fable that illustrates the difference between the cynic and those who see with the eyes of faith. There was a field of flax with tiny blue flowers, which was a beautiful sight at harvest time. And the cynic came along and he said, "Look at this beautiful field, but soon it will end. It will be harvested and it will be gone." And the person who saw with the eyes of faith said, "Oh no, not so. For this flax will be taken and it will be woven into fine linen and it will grace a beautiful table that people will enjoy." And the cynic said, "Yes. But the day is going to come when the tablecloth will be over and it will be worn out and that will be its end." "Oh no," said the cynic. "Because when it's worn out as a tablecloth, it will be taken and it will be made into fine rag paper. And men will write songs upon that paper. They will be bound into a book from which men will sing for years to come." "Ah, yes," he said. "But rest assured that the day will come when that book will be worn out and it will be thrown away, and then it will all be over." And the man who saw with eyes of faith said, "Oh no, those songs will keep singing in the hearts of men forever. Songs of brotherhood and love and peace." Let me repeat the question tonight. Oh, say, can you see? In the hill that stood outside Jerusalem, there were those who saw three malefactors upon the cross that day. There were only a few who saw anything more than thieves, two thieves, and one imposter. But there were a few there that day who saw with eyes of faith. They had walked with Jesus. And they had learned to look through His eyes. They had learned to see life spiritually. They had learned to look through the eyes of faith. And those people saw God Himself hanging upon that middle cross and dying there for man on that occasion. Oh, say, can you see? Surely this gives new meaning to the story that we read in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Turn there with me, if you will. As he went along, he saw a man blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Yes, Jesus came to give sight to the blind. And can't you see this blind man on that day? As Jesus reaches up and he puts the clay upon his eyes and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He has a friend who helps him there, and haltingly, carefully, he makes his way down to the pool, for there are steps down to it. His heart's beating fairly rapidly. And now he's standing at the edge of the water. He leans down. He gets a little water in his hand. And haltingly, he begins to raise that hand to his eye. Shall he wash or shall he not wash? Oh, I might put this water on my eye and the clay goes away and I still cannot see, he's thinking. But it's his only hope. And so haltingly he brings his hand up to his eye and he washes. And he gets a little more water and he brings it up to his eye and he washes. And now the clay is gone. And he starts to open his eyes just a little bit. He's afraid to open them all at once lest he doesn't see. He continues in darkness and his disappointment deepens. But he opens up one eye just a little bit and there's a flash of light. He opens them a little bit more. And now you can see him jumping up and shouting, I can see, I can see. Oh, doesn't it give meaning to that passage? Oh, say, can you see? Can you see Jesus tonight, the Savior of the world? Can you see His love for you? Can you see Him reaching out to receive you? Can you see Him giving you His Word so that you may read it and believe it and obey it and be saved by it? Maybe like the blind man in the long ago, you've hung between two decisions saying, shall I or shall I not become a Christian? Come and be washed in the waters of baptism and in the precious blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, let us learn to sing with the writer of that great hymn, open my eyes that I may see. Visions of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unlock and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes. Illumine me. Savior divine, He'll do it for you tonight if you'll come to Him in faith while we stand and while we sing.